Floating format. We're going to have open lines for you this entire hour. Here I am on a Sunday night. Don't forget, first Sunday of every month. Those of you who are in the greater Dallas area that might want to share some information with us about I-30, the Trinity Bridge, the fact that it's been closed down on both sides this morning. There's a 6-foot diameter hole there. The thing somehow is collapsed within. And I have no idea how long it's going to take to get fixed. Maybe you can help us out with that. But those of you in the Dallas area, you want to check in too, tell us about that. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. To the phones we go now. We're going to go to our wild card line. Marvin is there. Marvin's one of the first to fast blast us about this 6-foot hole in the Trinity Bridge in Dallas. Hey, you're a ham operator. Also, Marvin, I understand.
Good morning.
George, absolutely.
Hope things are well.
Yeah, they are. What's the situation out there, Marv?
Well, when I came through, about a little after midnight, and I was on a bus, and when I was coming to Fort Worth, Texas, and usually the route the bus goes is right across that bridge on 30. Which is kind of scary.
Is it a very heavily traveled bridge?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it gets a lot of traffic. I mean, that's one of the main arteries between Fort Worth and Dallas.
Oh, my gosh. So this morning, when rush hour starts in about 3 or 4 hours down there, what are people going to do? I mean, what's the best way to get around that?
Well, they're going to have to either use surface streets or they're going to have to go down I-35. Because, or probably down Interstate 20, because that Interstate 30, that is one of the main, for people who live in Fort Worth and work in Dallas, which there are a lot of people who do, that would have been their main way to get there.
What kind of a bridge is it, Marv? Is it like the bridge that collapsed at Minneapolis-St. Paul?
You know what? That I couldn't tell you. I'm a blind person. I just know of it.
Okay.
I know about it. I've crossed it several times myself, which what the sort of scary part about it was, had I made my bus connection, I would have probably been crossing it about an hour before I did.
Do you have any idea how they found out about the huge hole? I mean, God forbid,
no.
I hope nobody went into it, right?
Well, you know what? I haven't gotten anything about it. I've checked the local repeaters, and there's not anything going on about it. So, and I've listened to the scanner some, and there's not a whole lot about it. So I think that we may be lucky so far, which it was late at night, so it wasn't really, really full of cars like it very well could have been.
Let's just hope some motorcyclist wasn't going down that way.
No kidding. That would be bad.
Yeah, 6-foot hole. Okay, Marvin, thank you so much, and we'll check back with you if it looks like the situation warrants it. But both sides of this bridge are closed, you believe?
Yeah, the last thing that I got, both sides of Interstate 30 are closed.
Okay, there you go.
Because
those of you...
I'm sure they have a bunch of, you know, people from the Texas Department of Transportation doing a check on the whole bridge.
Oh, absolutely. Marv, thank you for fast blasting us and getting the ball rolling on this. Those of you listening to us right now on KLIF, you're going to have a rush. You're going to have a rough rush in the morning commute. So do be careful and take another way. Let's go to our first time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Yeah, my name's Billy. I tried to get a hold of you last night when you was talking about strange people.
Yes.
And it's okay if I could talk about two things?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is when I was 19 years old. I got a job selling out of college during the summer selling Bibles in Texas and leaving Nashville. And he had a sign that said Texas. Some said, you know, pick this guy up. Back then it was okay to pick the hitchhikers up. And I was following the guy that recruited me, which was my big brother in the fraternity I belonged to. And so this guy, you know, just a normal person, you know, a little older than we were.
Uh-huh.
And so he started reading, you know, and I couldn't, I looked at the book and I said, what are you reading? He says, Hebrew. And so I said, wow, you know, that's pretty amazing. I thought to myself, so somewhere between Nashville and Memphis, I was starting to get hungry, and I just kind of like said to myself, I didn't really mean it to be a question that I wanted him to answer. I just said, I wonder when Dave is going to stop. And the guy said, in 100 miles. I looked at my speedometer. 100 miles to the exact tent we pulled into a restaurant.
Done.
Yeah, I'm 50 now, so I was 19 now. So, you know, I told Dave about it. He thought it was just a coincidence, Billy. But, you know, sometimes, I don't know if this guy's an angel. I don't know. Anyway, I dropped him off in Joshua, Texas. Now, a different subject, but it's still religious, the type thing. You know, a sinner and a party guy all my life. And
mm-hmm.
This was 10 years ago. I was living in Long Beach on the beach, working in one of the casinos there in L.A., and I started getting my life back right with the Lord, and I was having spiritual battles, is what my sister told me. And so a friend was in jail. I was going to pick him up and was witnessing to him to take him to work. He had to get to work or he's going to lose his job. And so I had written my brother in Tennessee a letter the night before, and I went out to my car, and I was right on the beach, and maybe it was salt water. I don't know what would cause it, but when I tried to start my car, the starter wouldn't quit.
Oh, dead.
Yeah, so I picked up my hood. The only thing I knew what to do but turn the key off, I kept doing it. I picked the hood up and disconnected the battery cable. So then I connected them back up. Nothing happened. I shut the hood, got back in to start my car up again, and it did it again. And so I topped the hood up, and I disconnected the batteries. And I said, well, I prayed, you know. I said, well, if I get angry, you know, that's what Lucifer wants me to do. I kept my cool. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I said, this is what you, you know, I got to get this guy to work and witness to him. And I said, I'll put it in your hands, Lord. You know, I don't know what to do if the car doesn't start, you know. And so I walked this to the letter to the street and mail it. And then when I came back, I reconnected the battery cables and left the hood up this time just in case it did it again. I would jump around.
Save you some time.
Yeah, and so as I sat in my car and I was just reaching for the key, a brown, misty type of cloud flew out from the left end, front end of my hood toward the side view mirror, you know, where the window is?
Yeah.
And flew out. I mean, and I don't know what it was, but it was something that made me jump back in my seat. And I you know, I said, wow, what was that? And I reached down and I started my car and no problems. And so I called my sister, who's a pastor, and ever since she's 13, she's been preaching. And I told her what happened. She said, Billy, you're having spiritual problems, spiritual battles. And I think it was a demon causing that, wanting me to get angry and upset, you know.
Might have been. And so the demon was that brown, dark cloud that you saw.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, George. I'm witnessing to you and the world right now that this world, I believe it was, there are demons here, just like there were in, they talk about in the Bible. And I believe people that all these crazy crimes that are being committed are being possessed by demons. They're letting demons into their life.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to. We won't make excuses for people for their actions and deeds, but there are demons that have made them do what they're doing. There's no doubt about that. Thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, it is your turn. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, where are you?
Alabama.
And what are you calling about?
Tell me what you all think of this.
Okay.
Many years ago, I did not know I was pregnant. I was real bad sick and went into the hospital, and I had surgery. Now, I had lost 59 pounds, and if I was carrying a baby, it had to be real, real tiny, underweight because of my dieting. Nobody gave me any idea I could be pregnant. And after the surgery, the doctor told me that he said, did you know that you were pregnant? And I said, no. And I said, well, can you save my baby? And he said, no, I can't save your baby. I said, show me the baby. And he refused to. And he said, there's nothing to show. But he made up excuses that didn't add up. Anyway.
Well, you could have been recently pregnant. It was probably so minute. You know, there really wasn't anything to show you.
No, he did a pregnancy test, and it was positive.
I know, but how long were you?
Well,
how many months?
It didn't add up because it had to be at least 6.5 to 7 months. It's the only way it could have added up.
Now, when you say you lost 59 pounds, you lost it over...
Like, I had lost it during the pregnancy. The baby should have been dead. He made out like the baby was 4 months, but there's no way that didn't add up. 7 months added up, but 4 months did not add up.
So what do you want to know?
So then many years later, tell me what you think of this. Many years later, I went to rent a car, and a couple of weeks before I rented this car, I dreamed that I gave birth to a baby that I had carried 20 years, and when he was born, he was already jumping all over the place, and he was running wild, and I couldn't catch him.
And so my take
later,
is...
I went down and I rented this car, and the man who rented me the car turned out to be that son that I lost, and I recognized him because he looks just exactly like his father. And the thing that made me really recognize him is when he sat down and played the guitar and sang for me, and he sings just like his father. And I recognized him for sure then. You see what I mean?
Well, are you saying the doctor took this 6.5-month baby?
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah, but there's no way a 6.5-month baby could live, is
sure,
there?
If they're six, well, he had to be 7.
Maybe 7 or 8. Maybe you could do
that.
Oh,
I've known plenty that lived at 6 months.
Really?
I used to work in a hospital, yes.
Oh, I didn't know if they could or not.
Oh, yes. Anyway, I made every effort when I did recognize him to explain to him that I didn't know I was pregnant.
Well, you don't think... Why would this doctor take your baby?
Well, why did they take that one yesterday? There was one in the news about yesterday, and there has been millions of babies stolen. Why did they do it? I don't know, and I don't think it matters why. The fact is they did kidnap my baby, and they raised it as their own. And the fact is that when I did finally meet him, I'd like to know whether it was just...
Now, was there any connection there between you two? I mean, did he feel anything?
Oh, yes. And I'd just like to know how come, why did we get together that way? God. Did he find out my name and seek me out?
No, I don't think so. But let me tell you, if indeed he turned out to be your son, then it's synchronicity. Then there's exactly what we've been talking about all night, this incredible synchronicity. And if you really want to know what's going on, then I suggest both of you go through this paternity testing and find out. And... find out for sure. I guess it's possible that someplace on this planet they steal kids from mothers, newborns, and give these babies away and sell them and do these things. I've seen movies about it, so I bet it's true. Let's move on to some other callers. But I would do that. If you're still in touch with this person and you really want to find out, go get DNA testing and everything and find out for sure if he'll do that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there. Wonderful. Thanks.
Good, good. Hey, those are a couple of wild stories you just had there.
Indeed, yes.
It sounds like the one guy had a bad solenoid on his starter there for smoke.
But something started it.
There you go. And I don't know what happened to the last woman, but she was concerned. But anyhow, hey, I live in California. I live in Lodi, California. My name is Brett.
Okay.
And I've been in touch with these contrails through California and then now the chemtrails, and we have some real high altitude planes flying through California right now that put off like a greenish to purple shim on their contrail, which I don't know if it's a chemtrail or a contrail, but I was wondering if you'd heard anything about that.
Yeah, we're checking into that now, but it is definitely not vapors from jet fuel.
Okay, yeah. They dissipate within minutes.
Sometimes. See, but there's some kind of spraying is going on. I just don't know what it is for.
Yeah, these stay all day long.
Tell me about the region that you see the planes in, in terms of the land terrain.
Okay. Lodi, California, which is 70 miles west is San Francisco and 100 miles east is Tahoe. So I'm in Central California in San Joaquin County.
You getting some of these little earthquakes that they've been having?
Oh yeah, I feel the tremors. Sure.
Okay.
I think Reno and Lake Tahoe are ready to take a plunge, maybe. But who knows there? But anyhow, you know, I have my usual traffic of L.A. to San Francisco and to, you know, Seattle, all that kind of traffic. That
sure.
Come and go all the time. But then we have these crisscross patterns, which are, you know, like the chemtrails, and they're controlling weather or whatever they do. But now we have some real, real high altitude that look like they're flying over the ocean. I mean, at my perspective, flying over the ocean. And they leave when the sun sets, it's kind of like purpley or kind of greenish purple.
So they're adding something new to the equation here, aren't they?
I don't know. I was just wondering if you guys had heard that. I hadn't seen anything on the website yet.
All we've heard, we don't know why, but all we've heard is that people are beginning to see different kinds of colors on these things. International Line, you're on the air with us, and where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada.
Okay, sir. Go ahead.
All right. First off, I'd like to say, what's going on, George?
Life is good. I hope for you, too.
Listen to you for a long time. Well, I work on a horse farm here in Canada. I'm originally from Kentucky. I just pulled a future Derby winner, I hope, a little colt about an hour ago.
You know what? I used to breed standardbreds. And would do the same thing as you did. You know, cause sometimes they were coming out feet first, and you had to move them around a little bit.
Right.
But, yeah, you may have. You may have pulled out the winner.
Well, I'd like to share a story with you. When I'm from Kentucky, and back when I lived there, I was at a Target store. And this lady came up to me, and she's looking at me all funny. And I just asked her, can I help you? And she started telling me about her son, that I look just like her son that recently died. She started touching my face and kind of emotional about it, and asked me if I would come to her house. So
how'd you feel about that? Strange?
I mean, I was kind of nervous. I mean, she's a sweet-looking old lady, acted nice and everything, and I didn't you know, I didn't want to tell her no. So I went out to her place, and she wanted me to check out her son's room, was what she got me out there with.
Oh, that's eerie, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and she started showing me this picture, and I did look a lot like him. He's about my same age. And she set me down on the bed, and she kept on touching my face for some reason. But anyway, one of the weirdest things was when she took one of his old tennis shoes and she put it on my foot.
And it fit, huh?
Yeah, and it fit, and she kind of sighed, and it, like, lit her up or something. But anyway, she offered me $10,000 a month to live in this house and to live in the bedroom and to pretend like I was her son.
You gotta be kidding me! $10,000 a month. What did?
$10,000 a month.
Where'd she get that kind of money?
I have no idea. I mean, she had a nice place. She's obviously well off in money.
Did you take her up on the deal?
No, I mean, it was too weird. I couldn't do it.
God, I'd be calling her mom from the get-go. Oh, well, you know, I guess the money meant nothing to her for, I guess, the hurt she had.
Yeah.
But did you stay in touch with her?
No, I mean, I kind of got away as quick as I could. But...
Yeah, no, I know. That's got to be pretty weird. $10,000 a month just to pretend to be her son. But I think in the long run, you did the right thing. I'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Richard Safsky joins us. We're going to talk about his work with a Mayan crystal skull and the history of this skull in southern Mexico and Central America, and how he believes the skull has communicated important information about Earth's history. That's our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, final open lines. So let's go, first of all, to our wild card line. You're up with us. Good morning. How are you? Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
There you go. What's up? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hendersonville, North Carolina, actually.
Okay, great. Good to have you with us. What's up?
I'd just like to say, George, first of all, I enjoy your show. I work in private security, and I've been listening for a few months now. And sometimes I don't always agree with your guests, but I do love the show. I just wanted to tell you a quick story.
Sure.
You had a gentleman on a couple days ago from Asheville that was a paranormal investigator.
Joshua Warren.
Okay, okay, that's my hometown. I still live there. So I was listening to it, and you guys were talking about ghost stories. Well, when I was 15, I was riding with a friend of mine after getting off of work on a second shift, and we came down this little road near my house, and this it's next to the French Broad River, and this real dense fog rolled in. Well, we were in this buddy of mine's dune buggy, and this man stepped out into the roadway as we went around a curve, and I'll never forget him. He was very pale, very white, dressed like 1940s, and had a fedora hat on, and he just had this look that I'll never forget. Well, we swerved, and of course we stopped and got out, and we thought, oh my God, we just hit somebody. So we went back to look, and there was no one there. Absolutely no one there. Well, we kind of, you know, just wrote it off, got back in the car, didn't really say anything to each other, and went on to the house. Well, a few years later, a girl that I was dating saw the exact same thing. And, George, I'd never told her about that story. I'd never mentioned it to her. Exact same man on a different stretch of the river near my house, maybe about a mile away from my house that you can access from another road. And, I mean, she called me, and she was absolutely, you know, in a panic about seeing this man. You know, it was, again, it was a foggy night. And I asked her to describe him to me, and she did. And, I mean, to a T, she described the man that I saw that night.
See, and what and there, you know, what are the odds of her guessing? There's no way. She saw something. You saw something. And now we got to try to figure out what the heck it was.
Well, that's the funny part is, you know, she even described that hat. Well, a few years after that, I was looking through some old photographs that a great aunt of mine had. And I never knew my grandfather on my dad's side. He died when my dad was 15 years old. You know,
how did he die? Do you know?
It was a heart disease. And the funny thing about it is everybody in my family's always told me, you know, out of all the grandchildren, I act the most like him. And I'm kind of a bigger guy, and I come from a smaller family, and he was kind of stocky, you know. And I saw this one picture of him on the street of downtown Asheville, and it was exactly the man I saw that night.
Oh, man.
I swear to God, it looked just like him. And, you know, I'd always wanted to meet him, or, you know, at least, you know, kind of know him, I guess. And then it was just, it was a little creepy, George. And I mean, I'm a devout Christian, you know, and I believe in a lot of different things, that God has a lot of things in this world that maybe we're not ready to see yet, you know?
Absolutely.
But
couldn't they make it a little easier for you so it doesn't look like a victim that you hit with your car?
Well, exactly. But I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, it was just crazy that I saw that picture and I zoned in on it. I was like, that's the guy I saw, down to the fedora hat. And I keep going back to that, but that stuck out in my mind.
How much time did you have when you saw him before you thought you hit him?
It was just a real flash. I mean, I was on the side that he stepped out into the roadway from. And again, there was that fog. But I mean, when my friend actually swerved the car sideways in the roadway, and I saw his face just as clear as day. It was like,
it's amazing, though. You both saw him, though.
Right. And I asked my friend, I told him, I said, you know, I said, did you see that? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I did. And I said, what was it? And he goes, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Let's leave.
Man.
So it was kind of strange. And then, like I said, the girlfriend of mine at the time, you know, a couple years later, saw the exact same man. And she just said he stepped out in the road, and he really startled her. She kind of swerved around him. And like I said, George, it's maybe within a mile of my house, which is the ancestral home of my father.
Yeah, let me ask you this. If you were to see him again and you had time this time, it wasn't just a flash,
right,
would you get out of the car and try to talk to it or him?
Absolutely, George. I've seen a lot of weird things in my life. By the way, my name's Sean. I didn't say that earlier, but I've always been the type that, you know, when other people would run away, I would run to it. I want to know what it is.
Yeah, most people go the other way. You go straight to it.
Well, it's just been, you know, you hear about fight or flight, and I'm actually training to be a police officer right now, and I've always joked around that that's going to get me one day because I never want to run away. I always want to run to it. I want to find out what it is. I want to, you know what I see and, you know, figure it out. So, yeah, I'd try to talk to him. I'd love to tell him I loved him, and I'm sorry I didn't get to know him, that's for sure. And I know that one day I'll get that opportunity, you know, when I go on. But I thought it was crazy that picture looked so much like, you know, I mean, exactly the man that I saw that night.
That's a great story. And how far are you from the academy? Are you in it now?
Yes, sir. I'm actually getting real close to completing it. So,
good for you. Well, you be safe when you get out of there, huh?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You are on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey.
This is Chad from Prairie Point, Texas.
Hello, Chad. What's going on?
Well, I heard you're talking about the huge pothole down there on the Trinity Bridge.
A six-foot hole, they said.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible. Well, one thing I had about it was the Dallas Stars were playing San Jose.
Right. Tonight,
and that game went four overtimes tonight. And it just
four
ended.
Overtimes?
Yes, it did. And the Dallas Stars won tonight in four
and they're gonna,
overtimes.
They're going to play my Detroit Red Wings now, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Here we go.
I knew you'd want to hear about that.
Here we go. I don't know. I think the Wings are going to get them.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Wings are very, very good. And I think this game tonight, the way the Stars played and the way they won that in four OTs, will give them a little bit of an edge against your Detroit Red Wings.
Well, we shall see. Shall we make a little wager on this?
Well, I don't know about that.
Let us see. What can we bet? Let's think about that and get back with each other.
Well, we can do that.
All right, thanks.
It's going to be a great series, I think.
Absolutely. Anything new, by the way, about that hole?
Well, all I think is that there's going to be a lot of people that came out of that game tonight that are going to be moving up and try to come north or you know, because that's going to be north of where the American Airlines Center is. And they're all going to be coming north, and there's going to be a big hubbub about that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like Los Angeles traffic. Hey, thanks for the call. And let's move on. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi, this is Wayne in Casper, Wyoming.
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good. What's up?
In 99, a friend of mine passed away. And my wife and I went to view her at the funeral home.
Uh-huh.
And after we were feeling pretty bad about it, and after
we got
in the car, I suddenly had a wave of sorrow hit me like a
bolt.
In my mind, a flash, I saw my dad in a casket. Or first I saw my brother in a casket, then I saw my dad in a casket. And it happened that they passed away in that order. My brother passed away in 2001, and my dad passed away in 2005.
Man, I hate funerals.
And it was like a premonition. It was really strange.
It is weird. Do you can you handle funerals?
No, I don't like it. No.
I don't like them either.
Been to too many of them.
Do you remember the first time you went to a funeral home? How old were you, do you think?
Maybe eight years old, maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty young. I was older than that. I was way older. I think I was in my 20s. I posed a question once. What's the youngest a child should be when you bring them to a funeral home? I got all kinds of answers on that. I mean, all kinds, from bring them when they're really young to don't bring them at all. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Abel. I'm calling from Richmond, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was calling. I was listening to the radio earlier. I'm a first-time caller. You were talking to Colette. And I wanted to let her know, you know, my father passed away back in 98. And a couple months, right after he passed away, I was kind of angry, because of the fact that he passed away. My mother had passed away in 89. So it was kind of like one of those, you know, why, God, why do you do this to me?
Yeah, angry him upstairs, yeah.
Exactly. And then a couple months after that, I had a real intense dream. And to this day, the only time I have dreams with my dad now, it's like we talk about what's going on, and it's real intense. As soon as I wake up, my dad was a smoker. And at the time when I wake up, I can smell his scent. I smell the scent of cigarettes burning.
He's still hanging around, huh?
Yeah, and what's funny is that dream, that first dream that I had shortly after he passed away, my dad had two fused discs in his back, so he had a hard time bending over.
Right.
And as in the dream, he comes up to me, and I was sitting down, and he bent down to give me a hug. My first reaction in the dream was to push him away because I didn't want him to hurt his back. And I literally told him, you know, be careful with your back. And he tells me, you know what, don't worry about it. My back doesn't hurt anymore.
I love it.
He's like, I've never felt better. Everything is fine now. I feel so much better. I'm not in pain anymore. And he started talking to me about what was going on in my life at that point. And I think that's the dream that kind of, you know, it made me selfish. Was the fact that here I was thinking, you know, hurt and that. And I didn't realize the year he was in pain due to his back problems, and now he was free from all that.
So and I think that it gave you the closure you needed, though, didn't it?
Yeah. And that's... ever since then, everything's been okay. You know, I realize, you know, he's in a better place. Every once in a while, I'd have a dream, and he comes and talks to me. As a matter of fact, a couple months before my son was born, it's like he came down to visit me, and I gave him the news, and he told me he knew. So it was weird.
How old is your son now?
He is 5 now.
Well, one day, if he ever starts talking and describes your father, because he never had a chance to meet him, that would be a great story.
Yeah. You know, there's another funny thing, because now that you mentioned that, there's a story where when I was born, I was told by my, I guess there was at the time where my sister, one of my sisters and my brother were taking care of me while my parents went to, I think they went grocery shopping.
Uh-huh.
And they told me that my grandfather on my mother's side, which had passed away years before I was born, I guess he came to visit me. I guess it was a ghost. And according to my brother and my sister, they saw him. I mean, they met him, and they said he came down, and he said he wanted to see me, and he wanted to get to know me.
And do you have any recollection of that?
No, I don't. I was a newborn.
Yeah. Well, do this. You know, keep an eye on the little 5-year-old and see if he starts to describe your father, because then you know there's a visitation there. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Is this east of the Rockies?
It is east of the Rockies.
Yeah, okay. It's Mita.
Hi.
I'm
Mita?
Calling from Myrtle Beach.
Mita, that's different.
Yeah, I'm calling from Myrtle Beach. But I was listening to your guest a little while ago, mm-hmm. and she was talking about coincidences and things just happening. And I've been constantly bombarded since last summer with one after another. Even Friday, all day Thursday, I'm thinking Mayday, but not in a bad way, not like a distress call, but like a good Mayday, you know?
Well, good and Maydays then, are good.
Oh, yeah. It's a festival, ancient festival for to choose your loved one, whatever, the one you're going to marry or some kind of thing. And I was thinking all day about Mona Lisa, because I look like Mona Lisa.
You look like Mona Lisa. You have that little smile.
Oh, the smile. Oh, yeah.
You don't wear that kind of clothes, do you? You don't wear
except
that.
I have bluish green eyes. But anyway, I was thinking about, you know, because I know who my special one is, and my soulmate, whatever. And I was going to, I've been trying to tell him for a long time, but I haven't yet.
He doesn't know?
No, he doesn't know. And
what's the matter with this guy?
Well, not yet anyway.
He's got a chance to date Mona Lisa and he's not jumping to it?
Well, he'll know pretty soon.
Oh, you have a plan?
Yeah, I got a plan.
All right.
All right. But anyway, and also, I'm writing a book, and I've chosen Lulu to publish my book. The guest you had on that same night, talking about Mona Lisa and everything, Faraday, I think. His book's published by Lulu. And I've seen a vertical rainbow, which Ian did a show in October, and it's called Lulu.
Right.
But, yeah, Lulu's going to publish my book. And
good
for I write
you.
Poetry.
Good for you.
Yeah, and anyway, back in July, I had this weird dream of my special man, and I wake up, and it was so real. But the weird thing was I didn't recognize him in the dream. But this is July 13th, so that same night I'm watching Larry King, and bam, there he is.
He was on Larry King?
Yeah, he was on Larry King, July 13th.
Who is this guy?
Well, you might know him. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I won't know him unless you tell me. Who is he?
Oh, his name's George.
His name's George?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not me. Oh, man. Who
well,
are you?
This mystery, isn't it? But there he was on Larry King, and I just fell to the floor. I just absolutely fell to the floor.
Okay.
Fell out of my chair. Huh?
All right.
Okay.
I just
wanted to tell you that, I mean, even after that, one coincidence after another, just bombarded with them. Oh, and I also know usually the subject matter or the guest you're going to have and your bumper music, too.
You know the bumper music before we're going to play it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that night of July 13th, you played Put Your Head on My Shoulder. And in my dream, my head was on his shoulder.
July 13th, that was a year ago. You remember these songs?
10 months ago, yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. Well, we're going to have to check Larry King to find out what other Georges were on that show. I was, but I'm sure he's had a few other Georges. Hey, we're getting really close to wrapping it up here for the night. It's my once a month Sunday program. Make sure you're part of the Coast to Coast family all week long. We've got some great guests for you in store, beginning tomorrow with Richard Schafsky, and I guess this would be now Cinco de Mayo for those of you who celebrate that. So if you do, drive carefully. Have a good time. For Jason Bowers, Wayne Roberts, Dan Galante, Karis Coburn, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.